Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
This is The Athletic Baseball Show on The Athletic Podcast Network.
Swings here and he drives one deep into center. Puig is racing back, still going back. He looks up. It's gone! Over the center field wall for Hunter Pence. Pence will touch them all and score them all. A grand slam for Hunter Pence.
It's not easy when it's tough. That's when you find out what you're made of.
You get so much Brisby in your ears if you want it. If you want Brisby, oh gosh, you get it.
Anybody want coffee? I'm making coffee. Anybody want?
Yes! Yes! Yes!
I'm a frequent coffee drinker. I'm part of the club. I have a card.
You're listening to The Baseball Barista with Hunter Pence and Grant Brisby on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 20 of The Baseball Barista with Hunter Pence and Grant Brisby, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. Hunter, I'm wearing a Topps shirt. They didn't send this to me. I just happen to be the kind of nerd who would be wearing a Topps shirt while wearing while reading a Topps ad.
That's exciting. Where did you get that shirt?
MLB, I think. No, it was Topps, actually. Topps.com was selling it. And one day they had like this blowout where it's like, everything's like $3. Just get it out of our site. And I cleaned up on shirts, hats. It was a glorious day, but it's long past. I would have paid a good 20 for this because I love the logo. The logo is like, I believe it's 1979, 1980, right around there. That, you know, that's I had a bunch of those cards. So
it 100% creates a feeling. When I think of Topps, it brings me back to Little League Baseball and bubblegum, as we said before. And just like, it's always so fun to open those packs of cards, and collecting cards right now is very exciting. So I love that you have the Topps shirt. And I think if you're walking by someone in a Topps shirt, it's a statement.
You know what that person's up to. You know what that person's up to. All right. We're going to talk about some baseball, because that's what we do here. And we're going to lead off with, we haven't done power rankings in a while, right? We haven't done the top of the top teams. And I have to do a caveat, because every time we talk about which team's up, which team's down, I screw it up. Like, if you go back and listen to the podcast, I'll be like, the Reds, dude, the Reds, you got to check out the Reds. And then the Reds stink. And then I go back and I go, you know what? I was wrong about the Reds. Forget about the Reds. Reds are garbage. And then the Reds are rolling, right? And last week I was like, oh, no, it's the Mets. Don't worry about the Phillies. The Mets are coming. Like, you can't listen to me. So I guess listen to me and listen to what I have to say about baseball and power rankings, because I'll get it right this time. How about you?
I think that you were actually right the first time when they hit like a skid and you're like, ah, man, you were like kind of like succumbing to like, maybe I was wrong, but you were actually right. Now, you did say the Mets, they hit a skid. Do you think that they're really as bad as they are? Do you think they're going to come back? Sometimes that first thought is right, even though it may not seem to be right in the moment. And I think this is a very exciting time to do power rankings, because I thought there's so much to talk about. I thought it was very wild after the trade deadline. They immediately, Dodgers ranked one. Giants had finally hit rank one, which they hadn't gotten a bunch of respect. And I think that there's just so much to talk about with power rankings right now. I think it's very exciting. The NL East, the AL West, and the AL wildcard in general. So power rankings is fun right now. Who do you have? Let's start with, who do you have as number one?
All right. So for most of this year, we've been tiptoeing around the Giants. Not tiptoeing around, but just, you know, you have the association with them. I have the association with them. We didn't want to make this the Baseball Barista talking about the Giants podcast. You know, we wanted to cover all baseball. And I actually read one of our reviews on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, I should say, was like, hey, these guys talk about the Giants too much. And I feel like we haven't talked about the Giants enough, you know, considering what they're doing this year. So they go into the trade deadline, and the Dodgers get Scherzer and Turner, and whatever the Giants were before in the power rankings, now it was the Dodgers back on number one. Look, they got all these guys. Since then, though, A, Chris Bryant has proven to be one heck of a fit. But B, the Giants have won series against the Astros, the Dodgers, and the Brewers. Like, they keep getting tested. It's not like they're just getting Colorado at home all the time. They've been tested with three of the best teams in baseball. They won all three series. I don't see how you can have anyone else.
I mean, we're talking about the best record in baseball for like 2 months straight. So if you're not talking about the team with the best record in baseball, that's actually kind of subtly, like, nobody's given them credit for all of this time, you may be having a little bit of bias the opposite direction, if you ask me, because I was listening to Mike Kruko, and I think he said it best. He said, no one's really giving them any credit. No one's really talking about them. I'm like, come check out the Baseball Barista. We're talking about the Giants, baby. Giants. And they're the best record in baseball. It's easy to, like, especially when not everyone's really saying much. So, to me, I love that Kruko had the greatest quote. He's like, how can you be looking at this team and not going, yeehaw, Danny Cowboy, let's go? Because they're winning in crazy fashion. They're winning from comeback. But I do want to kind of say, like, because I've watched them very closely. The Brewers were really hit in the bullpen with COVID. And that was a very close series with two extra inning games. And they came back on the bullpen both times in both those victories. So that's where it, like, it leaves a little shadow, but either way, they have the best record. I do think it's 1-2 is like Giants Dodgers. There's no question about that in my mind. They're really close, and I have to give the team with the better record, the Giants, the number one.
Yeah, I wrote about on Tuesday night how the Giants, you know, A, you can be a glass half full person to be like, they're rolling. What are you talking about? This is great. Chris Bryant with walk-off hit. At the same time, you can sort of like scrutinize just a little bit where you're saying, it took the Brewers just slipping on a banana peel for them to win that series. It took the Diamondbacks getting their tie caught in the garbage disposal to win the series in Arizona. You know what I mean? Like, it took a few, not luck, but just good fortune, bounties, you know?
Like, the last week, and they're hot right now, and things are working out for them, but, like, they've been on, like you said, they've been, like, their opponents have been slipping on banana peels and, like, things have just been really going their way. But to me, that's not a coincidence. That's the magic of belief, the magic of they do the little things right throughout the game. And sometimes you'll even watch them. And here's where I think the nuts and bolts is actually the Giants are rank one, is if you watch their lineup, it's compound interest. Every single at bat, these guys are very disciplined. The Dodgers are, like, looking at their numbers right now offensively, they're going off. And they both do it really well. It's going to be tough to say, and the Dodgers are very, very hurt. They have so many guys on the IL. So these two teams are both teams that have compound interest where they work the counts, they get deep into counts, and even if they don't get a hit, they take something from the pitcher, and it's a very difficult lineup to deal with. And both the Dodgers and the Giants have excellent starting pitching and excellent bullpen. The Giants are deep everywhere.
We'll move on to the Dodgers real quick, but I did want to point out, Brian Kenny of MLB Network pointed this out, and I hadn't quite thought of it like this, but last month in July, the Giants were 15-10, right? That's a .600 winning percentage. That's their worst month of the season. That's their worst month is a .600 winning percentage. 16-10 in April, 18-10 in May, 16-9 in June, 15-10 in July. They're 7-2 as of this recording in August. Like, they're freaky consistent. They're not, you know, just getting these high in this 12-game winning streak followed by a 5-game losing streak. It's just more just a steady hum. And with all the injuries and the turnover that they've had, that's kind of impressive. It speaks to the depth of the roster.
They have been consistent, and they have responded to any little hiccups they've had with, like, they get extremely hot right after. Because they did have that one series, the first series against the Dodgers, where they got swept, but they still had a great month, and they came back, and they ended up winning a series against the Diamondbacks, and then going to L.A. and winning a 3 out of 4, I believe, against the Dodgers. So that would be the one hiccup, and that was many, many moons ago, many months ago. And, yeah, they just consistently are winning, and they're consistently playing good games. Even when you watch them lose, they win the time of possession, as they call it, with having longer times up to bat, and they play good defense. I think they have one of the best, like, as far as fielding percentage, I think they might be the best in the league. Can you confirm that?
I haven't looked in a while, but they are definitely rolling in that respect. They're rolling in the advanced statistics as well. Like, you know, you go to Baseball Savant, and they do the outs above average and stuff like that. It's just a very sound, capable team. I am trying to vamp and stall for fielding percentage. They are absolutely rolling. They're good in the advanced stats. They're good in outs above average in the Baseball Savant. They're fourth in fielding percentage. They're tied for first in the National National League with the Braves. It's A's, Astros, Braves, Giants with fielding percentage. But, you know, that's excellent. Excellent work there. The Dodgers, though, you brought them up as a clear number two, and I 100% agree. And it is a freaky lineup, especially when they get Seager back, especially if Cody Bellinger unsticks whatever is stuck. Because I remember when the Giants would play the Dodgers, I would watch this lineup, and it's just Will Smith, Max Muncy, Chris Taylor, Justin Turner, Mookie Betts, Corey Seager, Trey Turner. Like, they don't stop. They just keep coming at you. And when you've got, you know, Max Muncy is maybe like the best hitter in baseball almost. He's on such a tear. His on-base percentage is so high. He's so disciplined. He's one of the scariest hitters in baseball, at least. Mookie Betts, even though he's on the IL or he's hurt, he is just, he's back. He's the Mookie Betts that the Dodgers were expecting all season. So look, they are a clear number two. They are scary.
I think the one and two is kind of a blend, amalgam. It can go either way. They're both,
there you go, yeah.
They're both exceptionally good. But I do think the Dodgers have been more injury-ridden. I think Cody Bellinger definitely doesn't look like the Cody Bellinger of norm, but you got to know that the Dodgers are working on that. But, like, here's why it doesn't really matter, because, like, A.J. Pollock, 900 OPS. Mookie Betts, 900 OPS. Will Smith, 850. Max Muncy, 953. Like, literally, you're going down the lineup, and it's 850-plus OPS. That's all-star caliber status if you're at an 850. And they're anywhere from 850 to 950. And they probably have 10 guys in that range. You know, Trey Turner just added 862. I know that's probably a very small window. I don't know what he was in Washington, but adding Trey Turner to that lineup is really scary. And even Albert Pujols, man, he's been great over there. He's at close to an 800 OPS himself. So when I watched their series, it just felt like they were a little bit injured and a lot of their guys weren't in there. And like their injured list, Clayton Kershaw, IL, Gonsolin, IL, Dustin May, obviously, Jimmy Nelson, Joe Kelly on the IL. That must have been recent. So it's just so many people hurt. It's kind of tough to get a rhythm.
I misspoke and I said that Mookie Betts was on the IL. He's not on the IL. He is. He's missed the last couple of games with his injury, his hip problems. They're just dinged up. And so that is, look, you know, can they get healthy by October? Yeah, I said that they were a clear number two. They're like a 1A, you know, 1A, 1B with the Giants.
Yeah, I would say that. I'm going to give two rank ones.
Right? Yeah, and I don't, you know, it's funny because I would watch Giants fans get really upset, MLB.com when they publish their power rankings, or The Athletic when they publish their power rankings, and the Dodgers would be number one for so long. And it's like, look, I mean, we can just, you want a power rankings based on record? Sort the standings. That's a power rankings. You want that? You got it. If you're just looking at the roster and saying, here's what I think is the strongest team, I don't think the Dodgers have left the top of the power rankings since like 2016, 2015. I mean, they've been so good for so long. Why would you expect anything differently?
It's definitely easy to put them at one over the, you know, over the Giants, because, you know, there's a lot of names that you don't know that are doing great things. I mean, that's a fun one to talk about, but I do think it gets even juicier when we start getting into 3, 4, 5, because the Rays, the Brewers, the White Sox, the Astros, and I think the Athletics are coming. To me, like, let's just go into 3, 4, 5. Like, where are you going here?
This is a tricky one. This is going to be, you're going to make a lot of people unhappy no matter what you pick. I'm going to go with the White Sox because that's probably where I had them. I might have had them 2, 3. I mean, right around this part of the power rankings before the season. I don't think they've done anything to discourage that. They've done great with the runs scored, runs allowed. If you're into that, they added at the deadline. They're busy folding in new talent like Andrew Vaughn. And you've got the older guys like Jose Abreu doing things. You've got, I think, Tim Anderson's got a little bit more ceiling left. They have the pitching figured out. The bullpen is locked down. So I'm going White Sox. I think I can be convinced otherwise, but that's where I'm going right now.
I mean, I definitely don't think it's wrong. I don't have the White Sox there, and I'll tell you why I kind of skew it based on your division and your record. If you're looking at the Central, the AL Central, I'm going to say that it's not as difficult as, let's say, the NL West or the AL East. The AL East is stacked. We have four teams. These teams are all really, really good. The Rays, Red Sox, Yankees, Blue Jays, all of them are vying to get into the playoffs. They all have a potential to make the playoffs, and they are all exceptionally good. When you're in the Central and you're 67-47 as the White Sox, and don't get me wrong, I love Kimbrel Hendricks and I love Lance Lynn, and they're starting. So I think they could beat anyone, especially in a playoff series with that. But I think the overall, like, next team to me is the Tampa Bay Rays, to be, you know, at a, obviously they have the win-loss percentage. They're higher than the Dodgers, and they're in a division that's just stacked with only the Baltimore Orioles that you know, is not a playoff contender. So that's a very tough division. So that's the only reason I'm taking the Rays over the White Sox, is just looking at the math of that. But I do think in a playoff series, the White Sox can beat anyone. And they were my preseason World Series from the American League team.
You make a good point. And I always forget to check strength of schedule. I'm looking at the players, the stats, and the runs scored, runs allowed. But the White Sox are 7-0 this year against the Orioles. They're 9-4 against the Tigers. They are 13-5 against the Twins. You know, you can't fault a team for beating up on the struggling teams. You can't just say, like, you can't wave that away, because it's baseball and weird things can happen even when a lousy team plays a great team. But you start adding that up, and that's a bulk of, you know, they're 20 games over 500 as of this recording. That is, you know, a big chunk of that 20 games over 500.
Yeah. What are you doing against, you know, playoff caliber teams? And that's a fun one to look at. It's just the Rays are doing it. They always have good pitching. They play good defense. They're winning a lot, and they're in one of the toughest divisions. So I think that, to me, the number three goes to the Rays. And if I'm jumping down to the next one, I think I'm going kind of against the grain here. Maybe not. Actually, I think the Brewers are next in line, because I think they're better than even the series they just had with the Giants, because that was without Hader. You know, a couple of their bullpen guys being down. I really think their offense is starting to click. Adames is a legitimate threat, MVP caliber player. They literally hit every aspect of, like, what I think matters in playoff baseball. Is they have three number ones. They have three guys with, like, a low two ERAs, starting pitchers that have 100-plus innings, and Corbin Burns, Woodruff, and Freddy Peralta. And then they just have a back-end bullpen. The airbender from Williams is one of the sickest pitches I've ever seen. I watched him throw, like, seven straight changeups to Buster Posey, and one at bat, and you still just don't get good look at it. So I think the Brewers are the real deal, and I think they've been very quiet, and we haven't said hardly anything about them.
This is a good point, and let us rectify this right now, because that's who I would have picked next to. Maybe it's recency bias, and I've gotten a really good look at them recently, because my job is to follow the Giants, and they played the Giants in three taut, really, you know, fun games to watch. But they're good. They're good. And if you're going to talk about a problem with the Brewers, it has been this year their lineup. They have below average adjusted OPS. They haven't had the on-base percentage. They haven't been slugging that much. I think there's more ceiling there. I think once you get Avisail Garcia, you're kind of comfortable that he's going to be this 20 home run guy, which he is. You've got Colton Wong, Adames, like you said. I think there's a lot more to get out of Christian Yelich. I think there's a lot more to get out of some of these guys. And now you add in Eduardo Escobar. He's hit the ground running there. Rowdy Tellez. I think that they have, like, the bones of a, maybe not like a league leading offense, or they're just going to mow through, you know, opposing pitchers, but they have the bones of a strong offense. And when you have a strong offense combined with that goofy rotation and goofy bullpen, I mean, it's a good combination.
Yeah. And I think Rowdy Tellez is super sneaky, because, like, getting to watch those full games, Tellez is doing everything right, and every ball he's having really, really tough at bats. His bat's going through the zone extremely. He's aligned, and there's the Rowdy chant going on, but his swing is really good, and he's doing elite stuff over there. I think it's like, I know it's like close to like 70-ish at bats, but it's like a 1100 OPS. So they have him locked in swinging the bat. So that's a real threat. And like you said, I think it's another sneaky, really good pickup with Eduardo Escobar. He's going to give you solid at bats. He's been doing great since he got over there. And I think if you get Christian Yelich, who his grip and his swing looks a little disconnected, and you got to think, like, you know, and even with that being said, he's still, you know, respectable 730, and he's now healthy and stuff. So I think they're a very, very serious World Series contender. So I have them, for me, like in that range, like 1-2 Giants, Dodgers, 3 Rays, and then I'm going Brewers. But then it gets even more fun when we're going to the next spot. But you say you have the Brewers ahead of the Rays?
I do. Just barely. I mean, I don't want to not believe in the Rays. I think at this point, obviously, they're for real. I mean, obviously, they're the pennant winners from last year, so they're not exactly sneaking under the radar. But they always rely, because they're the Rays, they rely on players that you haven't necessarily paid too much attention to. They're very, very good at that. They've got a guy named Lewis Head. Never heard of Lewis Head. And he's just like rolling through. He's got a 1.29 ERA. Like, that's what the Rays do. So it's harder for me as someone who's looking at rosters and I'm doing this familiarity bias and I'm going, oh, I know this guy. Oh, yeah, that guy should be better. And when I look at the Rays, I go, huh, okay, I guess so. You know, that's what they do. So it's harder for me, but they're still just a really good team.
You have a team that just knows pitching, and I know as a player going in there, every time you go and you watch their bullpen, like, it's just filthy. And you're like, man, buckle up. Like, you're going to have to grind for every single hit. And, you know, at the end of the day, they added Nelson Cruz, who is just a boom, you know, he's the boomstick. And they play great defense. They have great athletes. They grind. They compete. They do what matters most is pitch. And, like, I watch, like, even their drafts and stuff, and it's like their first 10 rounds, it's like pitcher, 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 pitcher. They get it. And that's why you have this guy, Lewis Head, who is, you know, 22 innings in with a 1 ERA, and they just keep bringing these just phenomenal arms. They just know pitching. They know how to teach pitching. They know to go get pitching, and that is what wins. And then you add, you know, a veteran like a Nelson Cruz, and you have like the exceptional Randy Arozarena, who can just blow up at any minute. It's exciting, and they're just, to me, they're legit. But you're putting the Brewers ahead of them, and you're going number five for the Rays.
You know, I will say with the Rays, the pitching is remarkable. And one, maybe the most underrated acquisition, because when the Rays traded Blake Snell, it was a shock. That was their guy. That was the guy that they were going to ride to the World Series win. He was under contract for a long time, and they traded him. It made a lot of waves, and it made, I think, people underrate the Rays because they're like, oh, they're doing this. They're trying to have their cake and eat it too. They're rebuilding. They're reloading. What are you going to call it? But no, they were just trying to get better. So the underrated part of that deal is Francisco Mejia. And he has become like a dude. And the Rays and their catching. So now they've got Mike Zunino. They've got Francisco Mejia. It's like a really strong, just competent catching core, both defensively and offensively. Mejia is young. You can kind of dream on him a little bit to be this 130-game catcher at one point, a switch hitter. So I like the Rays. I love every time they make a move. There's an old tweet. My buddy Sam Miller, who was with ESPN, he wrote this tweet. It's a perfect tweet. It's, I love this trade for the Rays. Who do they give up? What do they get, right? Because you just know that the Rays made a good trade. So, you know, tell me the details later, but I love this trade for the Rays. It sticks in my head because every time they make a move, it's like, oh, that's probably going to work out.
Yeah, I would be very wary of making trades with the Rays. I think they're exceptionally smart. And I think I was quoted earlier saying if the Rays come asking for some of your guys, hold on to them tightly because they're probably something special about them because they seem to win a lot of trades. And the one that confused me is getting rid of Rich Hill because I really like him, especially if you're in a playoff race. I think he's dynamic. He's tough to he's confident. He's been there. He's a veteran. He's a guy that you want to ride into the postseason. So that was the one that was a little tricky to me. And where did they trade him? Was it to the Mets or was it to the Braves?
That was the Mets.
It was the Mets. Okay.
That was the Mets.
All right. So,
yeah.
But I mean, they know what they're doing. And they know who they have in the minors and who they're bringing up. So I'm big on the Rays. I think they're the real deal. But the Rays and Brewers are kind of very similar. It's just great pitching and like kind of average hitting and play good defense. Brewers might be like a notch up, in my opinion, just because they seem to have more threats.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
You know, when we say the Giants are 1 and the Dodgers are 1A, I think a lot of these teams can be 1C. I mean, like, I can, maybe they don't have the record of the Giants or the Dodgers, but they're close. When I'm picking the Rays over the Brewers, or the Brewers over the Rays, like, it's close. And the Astros are a team I could just as easily have 3, because they are, like, you know, I'm sitting here talking about the Dodgers lineup as being just one guy after another, no rest, no stop. When the Astros, and especially when they're healthy, I mean, they are just rolling. You've got Altuve. The boos make him stronger. Carlos Correa. You've got Yordan Alvarez. I mean, like, it is just one after another, and it doesn't stop with the Astros.
Yeah, no, the Astros are right there too, but I have a feeling the A's are kind of coming right now. Like, the A's are only 2 games back of the Astros, and that's what I wanted to get into. The A's had that one skid when, like, a couple, you know, Moreland and Cano were down. Since the All-Star break, they've been just chugging away, winning games, winning series, and they're right in the thick of it. The West Division is a battle. So you think the Astros are going to run away with this division, or do you think, last time I had to remind you that the A's are the wild card favorite. But I think this is the toughest decision right here. I can't call it, but I think the A's are legitimately going to threaten this West Division. I don't think the Astros are going to run away with it.
Yeah, I don't think run away with it. I think that's a good, very good point. They're not going to run away with it. I still would, as of now, if you're asking me to lay a sawbuck down, I would put it on the Astros. I don't want to dismiss the A's because I know from experience over the last decade plus of writing that when you dismiss the A's, their fans get really mad. I like the A's. I go to A's games all the time. I tailgate with my family back in the before times. I own A's merchandise. My daughters are A's fans, second team, but they're still A's fans. I think that the A's are outstanding. The Starling Marte deal was inspired. I mean, it kind of makes sense now that they had to give up Lizardo, now that we have the suspension for Laureano. That was a major, major move to get that suspension coming down.
Yeah, but I mean, Starling Marte's been great since he's gone there. They're pitching outstanding. They're solid. And I think that, you know, like, Matt Olson, 956 OPS. I don't know. They just keep winning. They're grinders. They pitch and they have pop. And I don't know. I just feel so much fight in the A's. And just look up and they find ways to win. And it is tough now that, like, I'm looking at the actual offense, and it's like Canna and it's Olson really carrying the torch here. And then they pitch. So the Graveman hasn't given up a run since he's gone to the Astros. But their starting pitching of the A's is a little bit better than the Astros. Astros are solid. But I think the A's kind of have the edge in starting pitching. And the A's, if you go to bullpen, it's like you got Ryan Pressly and you got Graveman, who are like, it's over. But then there's a couple little blips in there where they haven't quite completely sealed the bullpen. So they have elite top end, but I think you can give the edge to consistency with the A's.
See, this is one of those things where I move, you know, when you're trying to cover all 30 teams, you're trying to pay attention to all 30 teams. No matter if you spend 80 hours a week on it, you're going to miss something. And so we're sitting here talking about the A's and their bullpen. My eyes, I did the cartoon wolf eyeballs popping out when I got to Sergio Romo's ERA, because the last time I was thinking about Sergio Romo, his ERA was in the 7s. And let's see, at the end of May, he gave up in May 23rd. He gave up 3 earned runs to the Angels and his ERA was 7.63, right? So you're thinking, okay, this guy's cooked. He's donezo. It's 28 games since then. He has a 0.67 ERA. He's striking out a batter per inning. He is walking nobody. He is, I've seen those stats before. Those are Sergio Romo stats. So, like, he's back.
Oh, yeah. Sergio Romo knows how to pitch. He's lethal. He's aggressive. He's got more confidence than, if I had, like, the confidence of his pinky finger, I could have been a lot better than I was. And I love that about him. He's a great teammate. He keeps it loose. And he goes out there and competes. He believes that he's the best in the world at all times. Lou Trevino, man, look at this guy. 53 innings pitched, 1.84. Everyday use Miro, just 2.98. Like, they just got a solid pen that, and, like, you know, Diekman, they're veterans. So, I mean, it's consistency versus, like, a couple of elite guys over in the Astros. And I'm going to buy into the bullpen. It's going to be a really tight battle. And, man, you watch Chapman play third base, and it's just insane. Like, they get after it, man. He is a grinder. I know he's not hitting what he usually does, but he's something special. Canna's something special. I don't know why, but I just am like, I'm thinking they're going to put a fight for this division, and I'm going to enjoy watching that. That's the toughest one to call, is the West Division and the NL East, the AL West and the NL East. So I think I'm taking the A's to win that division.
Okay, no, that's fair enough. I mean, Starling Marte was one of the bigger deadline acquisitions, of course, but they got a sneaky, not quite a trade, but AJ Puck coming back and going into that bullpen and throwing as hard as he can, and that's like a deadline trade in itself. That's almost like, you know, getting Drew Pomeranz, you know, when the Brewers did that, except it's internal. It's AJ Puck. He's coming back, and that could help out the bullpen even more.
I mean, he's got four and a third, and he's given up zero runs. And I know he's a presence, pumping 9,800 from the left side. He's massive. He's pretty special. And the A's just keep winning. They had that one skid where they really fell hard, and then they got healthy, and now they're just kind of pumping. And I like them. So let's go to the NL East. And I know what team I'm taking of the three that are in the charge. I want to hear your thoughts here on the NL East right now, because it's been hype on the Phillies, and they're in the lead. What do you got here for me in the NL East?
I am a stubborn, stubborn man, and I'm still sticking with the Mets. And I know that they're on the downswing, but I'm just looking at guys like Jeff McNeil, Lindor, Conforto, and I don't buy that they're, you know, average or below average now. I look at the roster and I have to force myself to remember why people were so very excited about them going into the season. A lot depends on DeGrom's health. A lot depends on how much he's able to give them. But Stroman, Taijuan Walker, they've done some moves where they've shored up the bullpen a little bit. They got Javi Baez. He's not doing much at all right now. But I don't buy that these players are suddenly below average to average. And that's why I'm being stubborn. But I could make an argument for all three teams at the top, sure.
To me, it's like, when is DeGrom coming back? Is Noah Syndergaard coming back? What does that look like?
Right. I don't know. Like, they're playing it very, I think as of this recording, it's very still up in the air. You know, it's not as if it's a defined, like, okay, he's going to miss 2 weeks, blah, blah, blah. Syndergaard, he should be back, but he hit a little bit of a wall. And when you got guys coming back from Tommy John surgery, their command is usually the last thing to come back. You might get the velocity before the command. So I'm always, always, always wary of, like, even if the return date is September or October, saying, well, he's just going to slide right in and be Noah Syndergaard. So I don't know what the Mets are going to get from those two.
Okay. Well, I even without knowing that, I knew who my team was, and they've just been chugga 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 chugging their way, and they're one game back, and they've been winning the division over and over, and they took a huge hit with Ronald Acuna, one of the best talents going down, and I had them as my World Series champions this year. The Atlanta Braves are one game back, and they were so out, like, and I couldn't believe it. They were just gone, and they've just slowly been working. Jorge Soler, it's just 32 at-bats, but we're looking at 1,100 OPS, giving him some life, throwing him into, you know, a playoff chase. You got, you know, Freddie Freeman, who does Freddie Freeman things. You got Charlie Morton. This is the dude. This is the dude of dudes. This is a World Series Game 7, like, killer. Like, he did everything for the Rays last year. He's now got a 3.52, 10-4. We're looking at Max Fried, 3.91, doing some stuff. Drew Smyly, sneaky 8-3, and he was similar to Romo, dead to rights if you looked at the first 2 months of the season, and he's now kind of pumping a little bit. 4.41, respectable 8-3 record. They keep piecing it together. Will Smith, a great closer. You know, Matzik's doing well. Luke Jackson's doing well in their bullpen. He's eating up 43 innings with a 2. But I just think that they have a great organization. They find a way to get the right people. And, you know, Jorge Soler could definitely be the electricity that they were losing from Ronald Acuna.
Yeah, as of June 16th, the Red Sox came into Atlanta and they swept the Braves in a painful two-game series. The Braves were 7.5 games out. They were 5 games under 500. Thanks for next year. They're going to be sellers at the deadline. That's it. They're done. And they've come back. They've come back. I will say that in passing, you mentioned Jorge Soler. Have you seen Jorge Soler's dog?
I have not seen his dog.
I encourage all listeners and Hunter Pence to Google Jorge Soler's dog. It is the largest dog I have ever seen. And it's perfect because Jorge Soler is a big dude and he's there for scale. And this dog is like something out of a movie, but CGI. Like, it's not just like Turner and Hooch, like, oh, it's this cute dog. It's like CGI. They had to recreate this dog for this Christmas card picture. So I urge everyone to take a look.
It's like a horse dog. It's like basically. It's
a moose. I stare at the picture over and over and over again. It is so good. It is so good. Let's narrow it down to top five teams. Does an NL East team sneak in there?
No, I already mentioned my top five teams. This is just like where I snuck into not even the top like power rankings. I snuck into like who's going to win the divisions, because that's what matters. Who's getting into the playoffs? But, you know, Jock Peterson, we didn't mention as well, who's doing great since he's gone over to the Braves. So I like the Braves in the NL East, and I like the A's in the West. And I think I got Yankees and Stros being the wild card winners. But if Chris Sale comes back, the Red Sox, who we haven't really, they've been kind of like the Brewers, we haven't respected, we haven't talked much about, but that's just my picks and my thoughts. So if I'm doing the top five, I think I told you, it's Dodgers, Giants first. So Giants, Dodgers, then I think it goes Rays, Brewers, and five would be White Sox.
I think I'm going Giants, Dodgers, White Sox, Brewers, Astros, and then the Rays are right up there. I mean, it's a glut.
And I'm probably wrong, but I think you're wrong. The Rays are too good, man. They're good. All right.
I know.
Don't just ride the index. Seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to talk just a little bit about the Field of Dreams game, right? Where you have the White Sox and the Yankees. The White Sox are an especially poignant team to play in the Field of Dreams game because a big plot point of Field of Dreams is Shoeless Joe Jackson and the Black Sox scandal and all that stuff. So let's talk about Field of Dreams just for a little bit. First of all, the game. Did you ever want to play at that field in that game? Was it even on your radar?
Yes. I mean, Field of Dreams just gives you all the tingles of the love of baseball, similar to your top shirt. It's just the tingles and the feels of that youthful. I guess I associate it with being a kid and watching that show and falling in love with baseball and like loving the greats and the history of the game and respecting and honoring the game. But it's so beautiful. It just shows, like, do something that you love. If you build it, they will come. And there's just such good messages, and I literally can't wait to watch Joey Gallo and Aaron Judge and all of the White Sox play on this field and watching them hit it into the cornfields. Like, I think I went there when I was a kid as well, and like we just did the pictures going in and out of the cornfields, and it gives you that magical, tingly Christmas morning baseball love feel.
Yeah, the field is cool as heck. I really appreciate the Field of Dreams movie, like from a technical standpoint. As a tale, it is a good story. I still enjoy watching it. It's a good movie and I like it. It's just, I don't know how well it's aged.
You know what? I haven't watched it since I was a kid. So I just equated it to like an opportunity to play baseball with the baseball's greats when I was a kid. It was like, oh, these were like, you know, like all of these people that have passed on and died get to come back and play baseball, like more baseball. Like when you go to heaven or whatever the case may be, you want to play baseball. So like that was kind of the dream as a kid. I don't really even know if I grasped the story beyond that. Just like they built the stadium and now there's big leaguers coming and you can watch the big leaguers play from the old timey days. That was just like my feel.
So what's your favorite baseball movie? I'm still waiting for like my number one, my godfather of baseball movies, right? So do you have like a favorite baseball movie or do you have one that's like just number one, top tier, you always go back to it?
I think my favorite baseball movie, just because it's like, they kind of hit the nail on the head with like what minor league baseball is like, is Bull Durham. And like, you can relate to a lot of the characters from your like minor league days. And they just did an exceptional job of showing what it's like to be a minor league baseball player. And it's extremely funny. It's fun. It's baseball through and through to me. So I guess because it struck so many notes with my journey in the minors that it's like, this one really got it.
Bull Durham is pretty unimpeachable. That's a good one. I mean, Major League has so much going for it. I love Major League. A sneaky one for me, I love Sugar. Have you seen Sugar?
I have not seen Sugar. I haven't even heard of Sugar.
Yeah, Sugar, you know, it's a story. It's more of from the perspective of a young Dominican teenager coming up. It's a perspective that I think is necessary with today's game. It's going to ring a lot truer, you know, to a modern baseball fan. So I recommend Sugar. One that's sneaking up, because every time it's on, I watch it. It's become one of those like movies that just, if it's on, like Shawshank Redemption, if it's on, I'm watching it, right? And Moneyball. And it bothers me. Moneyball bothers me because I have about as many lines in it as Barry Zito and Tim Hudson. So like the premise of Moneyball kind of, you know, it bothers me a little bit. But as a movie, as a baseball movie, making a movie about like front office moves and stuff and making it exciting and like good drama, I'm always impressed with Moneyball.
I mean, it is exciting because that's kind of where we are today. And that movie kind of changed the shape of baseball and using data and this whole new theory. And like, we're watching what Farhan has done. We're like, you know, oh, you're talking too much about the Giants. Oh, by the way, they have the best record by far for a long time. And you don't know a ton of the players. And it's Farhan who was kind of like the guy in that movie. I never watched the movie, to be honest with you. I've kind of studied and read, and I know the story of the A's and like that he got into the math of it. And I've seen some of the graphs of how they value hitters and look at hitters through some of the statistical team in San Francisco, because I love diving in and learning. And Farhan has put together some crazy systems. Like, you can't beat him at fantasy football. And like, running a front office is basically kind of similar to a fantasy football. That's why it's like, be careful, be wary of trades from the Dodgers. Watch out for the gifts from the, you know, the war horse or whatever. I don't want to mess up the history, but just like, beware of Greeks bearing gifts, or what was it exactly?
The Trojan horse. Yeah. He's wheeling that sucker in and going, here's a trade for you. Don't look inside.
So I do need to watch both of those actually, but I'm going to say my next one, like, cause I'm a feel good kind of guy. To me, like the baseball classics, it's like, whenever baseball season is coming, it's similar to like when Christmas is around, you got to watch Elf. That's like a, you know, in A Christmas Story. Those are the two that my family has to watch. And when baseball season is coming, you got to watch Bull Durham and you got to watch The Sandlot.
Oh, The Sandlot. You know what? That was a gap for me. It came out when I was in college, right? And so college kids, you know, oh, it's a kids movie and I'm doing college kid things. So I completely missed that until 2 years ago, maybe a year ago. So I'm a recent convert to The Sandlot. Watched it with my girls and we all loved it, of course. So I'm a recent convert. I can't get into the whole Dodger stuff. You know what I mean? Like at the end, he becomes a Dodger. They're winning. You know, that loses me a little bit. No, but for real, that doesn't lose me. The Sandlot's a fantastic baseball movie.
Like, yeah, Giants and Dodgers are a great rivalry, but you love the rivalry. I love when they play each other and I want the Giants to win, but like I still love all baseball players and I respect baseball greatness, and there's greats that have been with the Dodgers and you have to respect what they've done over the past, what is it, 8 to 10 years. It's been incredible and they're changing the game and doing amazing things. So I don't think that skews me off of a movie. Would I have loved to have seen a Giants hat? Yeah, that would have been great, but Benny the Jet is awesome, man, and it was a cool story and it's cool. If there was a kid I knew and he got to go play for the Dodgers, the team that he loved, that's awesome. Like Justin Turner, it's an amazing story.
Yeah, no, that's always a good story. You think about Brandon Crawford and the picture of him in the San Francisco Chronicle. Our producer, Brian, jumps in the chat, the Zoom chat. Giants theme movie, The Fan. Did you ever see The Fan with Robert De Niro and Wesley Snipes?
That was kind of creepy, right? I think I saw parts of it. I stopped watching, maybe. I don't know.
It was so bad. It was so bad. You know, he was a thinly veiled Barry Bonds character. The baseball was bad. The movie was
bad. There's a good TV show with a Giants character in it. What's that called? Fuller House.
Oh, that was smooth. That
they
was smooth.
The Giants over there.
Absolutely. No, they were. That was Bob Saget in the Giants starter jacket. Oh, yeah, I remember that. I've recently given you a bunch of money, and you are now a producer. You're a Hollywood producer. You're now just you're bankrolling movies. Congratulations. What baseball movie do you want to see? Can be history, can just be a tale from your personal experience. You come up with a baseball movie.
With this question, my first thought goes to, like, we could do some kind of, like, insane, wild drama, like, almost like 24 Jack Bauer type show on Yasiel Puig's, like, journey to the Major League Baseball. And, like, I'm pretty sure they might be doing a documentary series on it or something, but if you've heard of like the reality that he went through to get from Cuba to the big leagues, it was nutty. And like, I still don't know it exactly, but the things that I've heard, like basically almost like it would be like a drug dealer type movie, because he was dealing with like mafia and different people like robbing him and stealing him and then telling him that he's going to have to give them 50% of his contract and him not giving it to him and them showing up to his house and robbing him. And I don't know exactly, but I know that Yasiel Puig's story was absolutely banana sandwich.
Yeah, that is a good one. That is, I mean, you could definitely make like this tight thriller out of that. I mean, it's not even necessarily a baseball movie, but just like a straight, you know, thriller.
Yeah, it would definitely be a thriller. If there was another one, if we were looking for another baseball player movie, I don't know, who else do you have that's another great baseball story?
There's two that I was thinking, there's actually three, but I think Satchel Paige, The Life, just a biopic, I've never said that word out loud, biopic or biopic, whatever, a biography, a movie biography of Satchel Paige, because you look at his baseball reference page, and now that they've integrated the Negro League stats into his main page, it's just so good. Starts in 1927, and then it goes to 65, so 1927, Great Depression. He's pitching, you know, for the Monarchs through World War II. He's pitching in the 50s in the major leagues. Like, he had a career, and I love that career. I also think if you're going a very, very different route, Marvin Miller, and just the idea of organizing baseball, getting the strong union that baseball has. I'm a union dork in addition to being a baseball dork, and like that kind of combines my two interests, because he's done a lot for players in baseball and in unions in general.
Grant, I love you, but you just made me fall asleep. I'm snoozing.
I think you could do it. I think you do like The Insider. You ever see The Insider with Al Pacino? It's about, you know, tobacco and big, you make like these courtroom dramas fun. I'm telling you, All the President's Men.
Yasiel Puig got pulled over for driving 140. He had to hire you know, it's like, what do people want to go to the movies to see? Are you kidding me? Maybe you're right. You probably know
No, you know what? I got the Criterion Channel brain. I'm thinking Marvin Miller, baby. Write it for
he
me.
He might get be that, great. It might be great. I'm docket. Sorry. That was rude. But I had to.
No, it wasn't. It's funny. Oh, you never have to apologize to me. All right. This has been episode 20 of The Baseball Barista with Hunter Pence. Check us out next week. We'll be back and we'll talk about baseball, because that is what we do around here. Thanks so much for listening.
I love coffee!
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.